Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness with my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening,
Ronnie.
Everyone. Hi, Jackie. How are you doing?
Oh, fabulous.
It looks like we're exploring consciousness for sure tonight.
I'm sorry?
We are exploring consciousness.
Yes, we are. Tonight's show, The Shadow Continues from Paradox to Paradise. Tonight we discuss all the paradox that we're facing, and Lord knows there's a bunch of it. Financial market challenges, earthquakes, war, changes in Washington, personal dilemmas. We have a potpourri going on here. And tonight's show is also very personal for me for many reasons. This has been a week of choosing in the moment for me whether to allow fear, seeing the results of addictions, both personal and codependent type of addictions and substance and all the ramifications. And it's been an interesting dynamic, friends and family. And tonight's emails reflect some of the fear that we're all facing and what we're seeing out there. And then there's also an email that I got this week that was very personal for me that I am going to share. This is not self-aggrandizement, folks. This is just, I think sometimes we all need to hear that there really is something on the other side, and it really can communicate and come through the veil in a very direct fashion. So I'm real excited about that. So we've got a couple of great emails, and of course we have one from Squirrel. I don't normally use people's names, but she's such a regular that I think that we have to honor her and give her credit and kudos because she's so brilliant at her writing. Greetings to my favorite blonde and redhead.
And she pays attention.
Oh, she does. Me and my shadow strolled through another power retrieval this week with my most recent ex-husband in the leading role. Now, for those of you listening tonight who don't know what power retrieval is, these are sessions that we do that we feel are of eminent importance right now for people to become fully empowered so that we can kind of steer the ship of where we're going here on the planet. Wish we could lump all exes in one session, but alas, I understand why this is not an option. My goal is to stop accumulating potential exes until I can catch up and reclaim my power with the ones I already have. After last week's show, I completely agreed that I have had a dislike for men all of this incarnation. I remember as a young girl wishing I was a boy, as it was clear even then that the male population held the trump card to, as I perceived, special privileges and benefits. My father ruled the house, my mother, me, and what we did as a family or couldn't do, what we ate, when we ate, choice of religion, etc. Yuck. That wasn't fun and fell completely short of any sense of freedom. To my dad, it was his way or the highway. And eventually the highway appeared for me after college, and I immediately drove to the on-ramp and never went back.
She's a good writer, that girl.
She's great. Even the male bodies were built for strength, and their mere size was daunting at times. Bigger is better seemed the rule, as even taller girls were idealized and idolized. What was a short female's chance in this world, I wondered. I relate to this one. Certainly not athletics or fashion modeling, and then I realized to even the score, as it were, I focused on my brain power. That was where I could level the playing field. Of course, that eventually came back to bite me in the butt because I became one of those, as you so vividly described last week, a vagina with teeth. Ouch. So what did I feel after my power retrieval with my ex? Well, after the pain in my liver, which was the size of Chicago, subsided, I had a deeper understanding of his role in my life and his soul connection in several of my lifetimes as well. I came to a place of peace, compassion, and neutrality. I know my children will benefit from my shift of energy towards their father.
Well, that's a wonderful shift.
Yes, it is. I have a sticky note on my computer that says, there are no bit players in my life. And again, for those of you listening tonight for the first time, that's something that I repeat all the time, and certainly they do as well, that there just are no bit players this lifetime. which I read and reread every day. So as I venture out of that sanctuary of my home into human life, I now begin to wonder who is coming into my life today to play a significant role. For me, that question alone has shifted my appreciation for all that I experience on a daily basis. On the other hand, if I'm in a mood where I can't handle another bit player, I retreat to the confines of my safe space and check my email. She's just wonderful. I do have a couple of questions. Do you think that men are embracing the emergence of their divine feminine, or are they resisting it, which may result in more aggressive control of women? I love this question. Ronnie, I'm going to let you answer this one.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'll jump right in there, not to worry.
Did he just pass the buck or what? Yes.
No, I was really just including it because I think that we're both seeing this in sessions.
Yeah. I think it's, again, it's a personal thing because I know some men who are really, really doing that very well. I think they're really finding their divine feminine and their sensitivity and so on. It's really touching because women will phone and say, where are the men? You know, there's no men out there that are... And I find that that's not true, that I know I have a lot of male clients who are really reaching and growing and trying to express their feminine. And mostly the ones I work with are still trying to understand how to be. So rather than being more aggressive, they're just sort of like a little bit flummoxed, not really sure how to be in a kind of a normal situation or what is normal anymore. But I really have a lot of respect for the ones who are working on it.
Great perspective, Ronnie. Thank you. And I want to address it this way because I think this has been such an interesting lifetime because we are in the midst of such huge shifts on all levels. And I think that there are still those who are resisting the embracing of the feminine. I think that there are those who are completely undone because they really don't know what to do with their role. They've been taught to be the hunters and gatherers, and, you know, this is thousands and thousands of years on the planet, and, you know, we're expecting this all to change in one lifetime, and sometimes I think we need to put that back in perspective. So I think a lot of men are reeling from women stepping fully into their power, trying to find out where they fit in the grand scheme of things.
That's the thing that's changing also is the grand scheme of things, and nobody knows how to fit really quite.
Exactly. Good point, Ronnie. And I think also that women, you know, and I've talked about this before, there is a new archetype that has emerged, which is the super empowered woman who wants to make men pay for all that they've done and ultimately wants to compete with them and conquer them. So we have that piece emerging in the dynamic as well. Do I think that men are beginning to embrace their feminine? I'm my own experience, I'm seeing men in the workplace, men in their lives, where everything is falling down around them. And they are being forced to embrace their feminine. Not necessarily doing it by choice, but literally being forced to, or through a series of circumstances. Now, do I see some that are doing it voluntarily? Of course. And, you know, I find it most interesting because, and again, I'm addressing this as a general, we're breaking down the familial chain of pain, which is the projection of God onto father, goddess onto mother. And those projections that play out into our world that we project onto lovers and friends and, you know, exes, you know, and our current partners, whatever those may be. So as that breaks down and all the anger that we've had at God, and as we reclaim our power, things are shifting. And I think, you know, this is, I think that we have a disproportionate a percentage of gay people on the planet today as a balancing for the scales also. because I think gay men embrace more of their feminine than most women ever do.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that they're embracing the emergence of the divine feminine, or do you think it's emerging through humanness, male and female, in a new way?
I think we're seeing more of an androgyny. And although, you know, it's a pendulum swing. I think that we're seeing with the gay community then playing it out on both levels, you know, the aggressive male and the super feminine female. So I think we're seeing both.
And the gay group does really enjoy running the bitch energy, too.
God bless them.
Because I would say you're better at that than any woman I ever met.
You know, we start owning all of our parts, we'll be a heck of a lot better off. She poses another wonderful question, which I love. And why are most of the archangels male? And, you know, my answer to that is I see the archangels as more androgynous than male or female. I think that they are more, they embrace both aspects of who they are. I think they've been marketed to us as male. What do you think, Ronnie?
I think that's right. What occurred to me is that the roles they often present are roles of kind of leadership in the angel world. And that could be kind of traditionally known as male. You know what I mean? We kind of assume it's a male thing.
Exactly.
The other thing is when I see angels and when I work with angels, they seem to present either a male or female energy at the time under the circumstances. You know, it's not always. I also feel they're androgynous, but they do present.
They do, and I agree with you. I think where she was referring to the archangels themselves. And, you know, for those that have worked with Lazarus always really alluded to the fact that the archangels represented the elements. And, you know, I think, again, this is more marketing than anything. I don't
know. Now, listen up. This is an archangel.
Really. You know, I always see this with Metatron, who's kind of considered the archangel of all archangels, the voice of God, and far more than what we perceive. I really would not necessarily put him into an archangelic role. But with me, with Metatron, Metatron doesn't have, for me anyway, facial features, form but no face. And the light is too bright to actually distinguish gender. So I'm always fascinated by that.
I think to me, I was thinking about this for a minute, the gender is more often expressed through a doing or a role, to me anyway, rather than their physical, you know what I'm saying? It's like whether I see one thing or another, I feel the role that they're either trying to push something or make something or do it or something.
Are you attributing that to gender?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, I just get a sense, so this is a more feminine energy, this is a more masculine, you know.
I would agree with that, yes.
It's an interesting thing.
It's a great question. Leave it to Squirrel to come up with this question.
Good question, yes.
And anyway, she signs off, much love and gratitude to you wonderfully vibrant women. Another email from another wonderful being. Jackie and Veronica, what on earth is going on? It seems we have one foot in multidimensionality and another in this strange still point limbo energy. Many of us have been diligently doing the deep clearing work with the team, and now I can actually see that our clearing affects and balances the many. In our work, we assist in balancing and clearing everything on our planet, so it is wonder I... It is, I'm assuming she's saying, no wonder, I see the volatile real estate markets, the balancing out of giving cheap credit to the overextended masses, and our little blue planet is balancing herself and her earth rumblings, hurricanes, tornado warnings, and solar flares. What a week. It seems like the illusion starting to finally rearing its head for what it is, and our clearing work with the team has helped us to stand in the energy of both an observer and a participant. I get the feeling as if we are about to take off our training wheels once this new energy settles in. To where we are pedaling, I don't know, but I feel excited about the destination. It seems strange to say, but it's as if the newer energies are still trying to settle in. I have subtly noticed the old ways of manifesting are even becoming obsolete. Amen. It truly isn't business as usual on the light work front.
That's a good one.
Good one, Caroline. I'm finding it exciting, strange, and frustrating all at the same time. It's kind of like we were in this limbo, zero point, still moment of energetic timing where everything is happening yet nothing is happening all at once. What on earth is going on? Love, Caroline.
I love this line, helped us to stand in the energy of both an observer and a participant.
That's
wonderful.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And we're going to, you know, tonight's show is really going to be addressing this email. And please know that these things come in, you know, once a title is selected, I'm always fascinated. And, you know, when I say selected, trust me, it's a group effort. There's some energy behind all of this that this week's show was written on the packaging for a printer cartridge. And it was something that a client said. I have no idea which client, unfortunately, because usually when I'm doing sessions, I'm so out there, I don't know what I'm doing. But it was so brilliant, I jotted it down. And then the energies all kind of come in to support it. And then some. I want to share, and then we'll get into kind of the meat of the show tonight, something that for me is very personal. And for those of you that may or may not know, Adrian DeVere was my mentor. Adrian has been my son in other lifetimes, and we had this extraordinary meeting that was set up by huge powers out there. I had no idea, but yet I did. I had visits and things that got me there to meet him. Adrian was from Israel. He crossed over right after I began the work. And his confidant, Diana Mann, there's her pictures on his website, and there's also a video on there of her describing the clinic. Diana and I have since become very close, and since Adrian crossed over, she was the last person to talk to him before he died. And interestingly enough, one of the beings that was present, this happened in a telephone conversation about a year and a half ago, she said, well, Ari Baratha was there and he never comes unless somebody is going to die. And I went into kind of shock and said, oh my God, well, that's who sets up the blendings that occur prior to the session. And it's very amazing the way that he's got everything set up. Ari Baratha does not really communicate with humans. So this is not a name it's not a common name, and it's not something that you'd hear every day. So she sent me an email. She finally got a computer, which was very exciting, and she sent me an email. I think this was her second one. She's actually from America. Dearest Jackie, how are you? Our friends have said that there is a definite improvement in your condition. Last week or so, I began writing the email our cosmic brothers relayed that you have a physical challenge. I thought that I misunderstood until I received your email. And, of course, for those of you that have been listening, you know that I've certainly gone through some physical challenges with all this work and all my own healing. She continues, different teams and entities are constantly participating in love treatments, i.e. energy being transmitted through the organic equipment used by the brothers is basically composed of highly concentrated prana. Now, at this state of the email, the writing begins to shift, and I'm actually talking about the printing. And it takes a right turn, and it says it is their form of chemotherapy. The writing then goes into, and it will not print, but anybody who wants to see it, I'll forward it to you. Because if I translate it or if I cut and paste it, the computer, our software, will translate it into straight lines. When she sent it to me, the entire channeling that came through her, there was no straight line anywhere. It was all over the page, kind of. It was the most bizarre thing I'd ever seen. And it continues in this very strange writing. It is clear that we as healers use our emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual energies during treatment and afterwards. Our investments do not end with the assigned time. Dearest Jackie, you are aware of this. Replenishing the energy is difficult. We are with you in each and every endeavor. Our love and aid are never ending. The joy that we have in your service and our participation with you is boundless. We are full partners in the worship of the Holy Almighty who has given the creation his breath. Thank you for your love and kindness, the One.
Wonderful.
And the writing then goes back to what it was before, and there was a sudden channeling, I love you, Diana. The next line she writes, the lettering changed by itself. Below that, which I missed originally when I went back to look at it again, at the very bottom corner, in the same type as the channeling, was the joy. So they signed it the One, and then they signed it the Joy. Anyway, I wanted to share that with everyone because it's interesting. That particular day, I was walking in the morning, and I had asked for a very direct display of coming to me to know that the work I was doing was making a difference and that I was loved. So this came when I got back. This was on my computer. And, you know, I share this with everyone because I think it's so important for us all to remember that they're waiting for us to ask for feedback, and we forget to do that. And this goes back to Dr. Joe Dispenza. He has a website, Dr. Joe Dispenza with no period. He's done some brilliant work on the brain and creating your day and spontaneous healing. And this is part of what he teaches people, is to remember to ask for feedback, you know, that you're working with a neutral quantum field. And now, I don't consider this a neutral feedback, but nevertheless, as we're just opening up to how it all works as we are, we're just finding out how much we've limited ourselves by not asking for that. Again, after the choice of the name of the show and so on, and Paradox, and yesterday afternoon or evening, Steve Rother sent out his Beacons of Light, and the website, everybody, is lightworker.com. So this one is up on the website right now. It's the most recent Beacons of Light. I'm just going to read a little bit of the excerpt from it. Certainly there's a lot more, and I know, Ronnie, you read it as well this evening.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's excellent.
I really recommend it. It's such a succinct thumbnail of what's going on and very deep feeling, you know.
Absolutely, and I've just kind of pulled out a couple of pieces that I've wanted to share. Dear ones, you sit at the edge of yet another wonderful leap in evolution. Even so, there are many of you who are feeling stuck. It is as if you're doing everything correct, and yet it seems that there is little forward movement. This feeling of being stuck compounds when you see everyone around you moving very quickly. Let us give you another view of that situation this day. As all humans evolve, you will find that one of the most empowering points about being multidimensional is that it offers you multiple points of perception. This is a very important statement, and please remember this one because it's really the whole crux of where we're going tonight, the multiple points of perception. This multiple view of any situation is what we've labeled the 12th dimension. Again, folks, this is a number. I don't care what dimension you call it. since your reality is created by the point from which you view it, okay, your reality is created by the point from which you view it. It can be said in the new energy, all things begin in the 12th dimension. There are new shortcuts to creation that are now possible, and they will become popular over the next few years. These shortcuts begin the creation process by helping you to place your creation in the 12th dimension. Then he goes on to say, we'll help you experience this in this message. So again, encouraging everybody to read it. I kind of cut down here to enter the human angels. All of these events are causing great stress to those of you who have chosen to take the first steps and lead the way for others. You are the new breed of human angels that are ready to be called into action. Our previous words were the clarion call, and now we'll enter the human angels. The answer to our call was that you are receiving this message right now. It's not for us to tell you that you're a human angel, for that is a chosen title. But we speak of them more often now as they are beginning to make their presence felt on the game board of free choice. The role of these special beings will be will herald the dimensional shift directly ahead. He goes on here and talks about the timeline, and this is such critical information, I think. You've been having your human experience within a field of duality as a needed part of the game. In the third dimension, you needed duality for contrast, much the same way you needed a timeline to represent finiteness. You see, in reality, nothing is finite. It was simply a needed illusion that made living in the third dimension easier. All of humanity is now firmly seated within a field of triality in which light and dark are balanced by a stronger connection to your own higher self. You no longer need the illusion that you call time. Your soul knows no time, and even though it has experiences of playing the human game with the illusion of time, it is truly timeless. See things in the now, and the illusion of time is gone. Again, this is just really, really important stuff. Learning to live without the need to put everything into a timeline will become paramount. It's very difficult for a being brought up in a time-based reality to shift to an infinite-based reality. Much of your entire thought process is time-based. The vast majority of all your thoughts are based in the past or the future. Of course, the only one that is real is the presence of the now. And folks, this is where we're going right now. It is paramount for all of us at this juncture with everything that is happening out there to be in that now moment, no matter what. And, you know, I want to talk tonight about Atlantis, and Ronnie kind of reminded me. She said, you know, you bring it up, but you don't really go into it. We're back in Atlantis. I mean, everyone that's listening here tonight was there during one of the three, possibly all three of the destructions. And practice is over here. The U.S. is Atlantis, and that's why we're all here. And we came in this time to be certain that we held the resonance to help create the new Earth. The greatest enemy of these times is fear. And, you know, I'm going to go into that more because I was dipped in fear this weekend by being around people that I love very much who were experiencing fear. It took me 3 days to get back on my feet energetically.
That's interesting, isn't it? So that reminds us that it's so pervasive and it can really catch you.
Well, it is. It's like a disease. And it hits your resonance, and especially for all of those listening tonight, you know, for all the work that you've done, you don't realize that when you're around people that are in fear, that it literally can permeate your energy field. So back to Atlantis here. You know, during the first intensive that we did, I don't even know what year it was, we took people back to Atlantis and allowed them to have the opportunity to visit the Atlantis that went on. So much as the new Earth, okay, this is the new Atlantis that we went to visit. And it was very healing for lots of people because a lot of people carry that sorrow. They don't even realize that it's a deep sorrow that they may never have really gotten in touch with. But certainly these times on the planet are going to trigger that sorrow. So for those of you walking around feeling kind of down and not knowing why, that can be part of it. But there were those that didn't buy into the fear, and they ascended with the new Atlantis. And the rest went down. And many of you listening tonight were part of those that bought into the fear and the judgment, which is right back where we are right now, and went down. You know, during sessions, we've taken people back to Atlantis to re-experience the end times. And for healing, not for self-punishment. The opportunity was so that they could experience it, review it, see what really happened, so that they could heal it, knowing that Atlantis went on. And some of those people that have gone back, they saw it coming. They were part of a group designated to hold the resonance so that it wouldn't go through the destruction. And for various reasons, sometimes people bailed on them. I know one particular person I was working with knew that she was part of the magicians that were to hold the resonance, that they knew together they could keep it from the destruction. And the others panicked out of fear and ran. And these were really emotional sessions, really big. But they were part of a healing process. So, you know, this takes us back to the whole purpose. And I'm, you know, Ronnie, I was telling you this earlier tonight that, you know, I'm usually behind the curve. Things come through, and then I don't always know how they're going to play out down the road, what their significance is in the next step that we're taking. But the power retrievals are huge. And the reason that they've been so accelerated right now is because of these times, that in order for us to believe that we're powerful enough to make a difference, we need to reclaim our power. Otherwise, we're going
to... Some of the fear is left from even that time, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, you know, the reclaiming of power from exes and parents and children and friends and families and bosses and, you know, from Atlanta, from wherever, is of paramount importance.
So let's look at, you know, the real estate thing that we were talking about. What was it? Yeah, we were talking about the financial things right now. Can we liken that to times of Atlantis where people are afraid, so afraid about their financial stuff that they create a huge downslide or... we're dependent on the world, you know, how can we equate it to right now?
Well, I don't know that I could equate the abuses of power. I certainly could equate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we could equate the financial markets necessarily. The abuses of power were things got out of hand in Atlantis. And because they had carte blanche to do a lot of things that we don't have carte blanche to do today, thank heaven. Or they'd be done and the planet would be gone. I'm going to get into the financial markets in a minute, Ronnie, but, you know, I'm going to go back to resonance here, and then let's take some of this stuff apart. And, you know, I'm just going to say here, when we started experiencing, and this is the power of what can happen, and I watched it happen. We were not having problems in the financial markets until rumors started circulating that the market was going down. And yet there is absolutely no economic reason for the residential real estate market to go down. There was none. And so we've had a year, well, 2 years, of residential market decline. with absolutely no reason. Now we're
I thought people were overextended.
Well, but nobody really knew that then. In other words, there was that. It started out as a rumor. I mean, I can tell you this one absolutely. It started out as a rumor. Now, I'm in Las Vegas, which is the strongest market going.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the rumor happen here. I watched it tank. And then it started moving. It moved to California, and it moved here, and it moved there. And, of course, then, you know, the mortgages, and there are a lot of other things going on, and we'll get into the financial side. But because of the way that we communicate on this planet today, it only takes a little bit to start a panic.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't take much. Now, I can tell you that the very pricey homes are fine, but it's middle America right now that's experiencing the real downturn here. It's not the very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an elimination of the middle class. I see a lot of orchestration going on, but that's, you know, my own... Anyway, let's...
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah?
That's the power issue that's going on today, isn't it?
That is the power issue, yes.
Yeah, it's important, actually.
Well, I'm gonna get into the financial thing in a moment here. I just want to talk about resonance before we get into the financial thing. First of all, we can't fix it. But we can hold the resonance. Now, Steve has just talked about, or the group did, about staying in the now moment. That you can't change anything by going into the future or going into the past. Absolutely right on. We can only change it by being in the present.
Do you have a caller, Jackie? Do you want to take it?
Yes, sure, go ahead. Hello.
Hi there. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Great. I saw on the website that you do healing work throughout your radio broadcast. Is that correct?
Yes.
Could you please do some healing for a friend of mine?
The healing work that occurs here is when people tune in, the resonance comes right through the through your computer into your home. And you can have your friend tune in to any of the radio shows that are in the archives, and they'll receive healing energy.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. All right. So there's no other way. It has to be the person there themselves that does it.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. So let's go back to hold a vision, then we're going to go into some of these other scary things that are going on. And that's the higher vision of the new earth, Ronnie. And I think that this is where, again, I'm, you know, relating it back to Atlantis. Our magic and our power is exactly that.
Hmm.
And if we don't hold that vision for Earth in the now moment and every moment, if we get sucked into all of the scary things that are going on, it doesn't mean that we don't lend our energy to help to create magic. But we have to hold a vision. Now, you know, the group talks about doing it from the 12th dimension. I don't care what dimension you're on. Just hold a resonance.
Well, I love, you know, how we can bring in frequencies from the universe. You can raise your focus and attention and bring in higher frequencies and sort of get yourself, your resonance moving on that level as well.
Well, the reason I read the email I did from Diana is that they are waiting to join us in our visions. They cannot do it for us, but they are waiting to join us in our visions. And we'll get into that in a minute about Peru. You know, I want to talk about... this is an email that I received, and I put it out for the team, and I'm putting my energy to it as well. And this is for someone who's been involved with Lazarus for many years. And she's involved in the financial markets, and she put out a clarion call for magicians to step forward. And I'm just going to read this to you because I think it's really important. The liquidity crisis is in full swing. The ability to borrow at the institutional level in most debt products is shut down almost entirely. forced liquidations are occurring and there are only a handful of buyers at my desk. Anyway, she goes on to talk about what's really happening in the economic markets and what she chooses to hold, okay? And she actually lists by item those things that she chooses to hold. In terms of liquidity begins to return to the market by the end of August, etc. And then she states, I really appreciate all those who feel called to work their magic. So there are others out there doing this, and you can join together with others to do it, or you can do it on your own and call in those from the other side. We have a caller?
Yes, you do. Hello.
Hi.
This is Christina Thompson. I came on the call right when you were talking about the citizens of Atlantis, and then you said that everyone on this call was a citizen of Atlantis. And, of course, that caught my attention because I was just logging on to the computer. Can you emphasize that?
I'm sorry, could I what?
Explain it, clarify that for me.
Well, yes.
You said everybody that is listening to this call is from Atlantis.
Was present during one of the three destructions in Atlantis, yes. The reason that you're back this time is to be certain that what happened in Atlantis doesn't happen again. And that's why we're all joined together, to hold the higher resonance so that Earth does not suffer destruction like it did in Atlantis. Does that answer your question?
It does, but it also creates a lot more questions.
Well, I'm sure.
Supposed to, probably, eh?
I've actually heard Del Rey talk about Atlantis and light beings, but in that conversation, which it was quite some time ago, it was never put that everybody on that call was there.
Well, I can only tell you that I know that people that tune in to this show were all present, and or you wouldn't be listening tonight.
It just gives me goosebumps that that's what I heard when I first came on.
Well, then it was a direct call to you as well.
There are no accidents. All right, thank you.
Thank you for calling. At any rate, she goes on again, talking about the market and what she's seeing. And, you know, I just want to say here that we're also not getting the real news. And this is not to scare people. What I'm really saying, though, is that our visions, and each one of us have the opportunity here to focus in a specific area. And, Ronnie, you were asking about Atlantis and what was it, the financial markets? You know, I think in Atlantis, money was not the issue.
Well, I was more thinking of a comparison, saying Atlantis, the light and the dark and the greed are the power issues. And now we've got an economic situation, or we've got fluctuations in the economy. And a lot of it, to me, is a power issue, some of which is totally unseeable, unreachable, unhearable. And can we not influence, raise the resonance of that? Can we not have an impact? Can we not look at that with the same eyes as the rest of the Atlantean thing? You know, can we not look at it with the same consciousness?
Exactly. Yeah. You have a choice. You either go to fear or holding the higher resonance, the higher vision, your vision for your experience of Earth. We are creating from this now moment. We're not creating in the future. We're not creating in the past. We're creating right now.
And it is a challenge if you feel that your structure is being pulled upon and threatened to maintain that in the now, and the resonance of the higher, the higher resonance, and really send that energy out there. It's a challenge. We're warriors. We're busy here.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, of course, I have a home, and I have one of those loans that's going to, you know, due next year, and. You know, I've asked various questions of the team, and I've said, well, you know, do I really need to worry about this? And I can hear them laughing on the other side of the veil because they know I know the answer to that. And the answer to that is no.
But the reality is, you just said something that was really illuminating. Of course, you always do. But
go ahead.
The reality is, in the circumstance, in the awareness, those levels of our selfness can sometimes interact with each other. So it's hard to, not, I shouldn't put it that way. It's a challenge to maintain a high resonance when you're looking at the scary part on the lower consciousness or on the human consciousness.
You're dealing with your own personal fears, which everybody is. Everyone is going to look at this and say, how does this affect me? Now.
And just as you were saying about the weekend, is fear is contagious.
Oh.
It's a really big job to set up those vibrational structures that prevent that.
This weekend I was with a group of people and dear friends, and each of them dealing with different issues. And one of them started talking about the real estate market, the financial markets, and, you know, how that was going to affect me. And I had to immediately change my mind and my resonance, no matter what that person was saying. And I found a way to excuse myself and leave the room.
Excellent.
And immediately hold the highest resonance that I possibly could, because my choice is, do I buy into fear or don't I? Am I creating, let's go to a couple of examples here, because I think these are wonderful examples, Ronnie. One of them, and these are small and some are big, but they're about resonance and what we experience. And they're a great parallel to what we're talking about. One of my dear friends and clients takes a specific route to work every day, and so does one of her coworkers. They both leave for work at exactly the same time from the same location. One of them experienced a tremendous accident on the freeway. The other person on the same freeway did not experience the accident at all. Now, was that a function of resonance? Yes. I was at a Lazarus intensive many years ago in Los Angeles when the group was somewhat smaller, and we were in a high-rise hotel, so our rooms were all in the upper levels. And we were all in the executive area, which was having hors d'oeuvres and so on. And I was just having a wonderful time, and the next morning we went down for the beginning of the day. And Lazarus said, how many of you experienced the earthquake last night? And I looked around the room, and I went, what earthquake? And half the room experienced the earthquake, half of them did not. Now, that to me is one of my favorite stories, because you're in a high-rise hotel. Now, if you were in a different hotel, across the street, down the block, whatever, I could understand. We were all in the same hotel. And this was a substantial earthquake. And so I was fascinated by the fact that, and of course Lazarus talked about the fact that it was actually a function of resonance, that you don't have to experience what other people experience, depending on where your resonance is. For me, an earthquake wasn't real. I don't have any fear of earthquakes. I lived in Hollister on the earthquake capital of the world, you know, and then I lived on top of the Loma Prieta. I mean, to me, when an earthquake occurs, I just pull the energy in. I find it quite amazing. I feel the earth is sharing her passion. But again, because I don't have fear, I don't experience it. And then another one which just came about, and Ronnie, I first talk about what your guides were saying, and then I'll share what happened. This is so fascinating. That there was something imminent coming.
Yes, they said that we had recently averted a very large problem, but I assumed it was a terrorism problem, but your take on it was different.
Well,
and they said it was a consequence or result of our consciousness work.
Exactly. All right. As you just said, a result of our consciousness work. There, Nancy Leader has some very dire predictions from the Zetas. And, you know, I take her newsletter because I do pay attention to what others are saying. I don't take it in as fear. I'm one that monitors many, many different forms of information. And so I kind of consider myself the information monitor. That's all. And as it pertains to ETs and to what's going on with the planet. And what was interesting is the sighting that was in one of the newsletters that it was a wonderful video that disappeared. The link was there, but none of you were able to, some of you were able to access it. It was taken off the web by the government, interestingly enough. And this was a group of ships sitting over a town in Peru. And Nancy talked about this in one of her newsletters, that in fact that there was going to be a sizable earthquake and a tsunami. We had the earthquake, unfortunately, I believe it was yesterday. There was no tsunami. And or a couple of days ago. At any rate, I really assumed that what they were talking about was that in particular, Ronnie, because it was so, the chances of it having devastating effects in Peru were huge. Mm. And it was predicted that this would be a major tsunami. Mm. And Nancy has alluded to the fact that whenever there are major sightings in an area, that there's something big coming, that they're a form of warning. But I think this is a perfect example of resonance. We don't have to experience these negative things or be subject to them. If we buy into them and we experience fear around them, then we're going to draw that to us. You know, how do you raise your resonance? And this is a really a big issue. And, you know, I talk about this a lot and about the paradox itself. You know, this is what's kind of the title of tonight's show was, you know, from paradox to paradise. We more than ever before need to work with paradox because we're in the middle of it right now. We don't necessarily understand it. How can it be true for them and not be true for me? And, you know, what's wrong with my consciousness if I'm only worried about myself? That's not the goal. If you're holding the highest resonance that you possibly can, the highest vision for your planet and for the outcome of all things, that permeates everything. It permeates the collective. That's what we're doing here. Okay?
That's why I call my show Radiance by Design.
That's right. That's right, Veronica. And we have some things going on Earth. We have two distinct factions going on right now. You know, there are factions that are aware of what's happening on the planet. A lot of things which the majority of humans are not aware of. As I said, I monitor a tremendous amount of information, more than I even want to know, but that's what they consider to be part of my job. And I have to make a choice every day as I look at some of these hugely negative things that I don't share on the radio because I don't see any reason to make people worry about things at this state. If you're holding the highest resonance you can, do you really need to know how many snakes are in the bag? You know? you know, that would be my greatest statement to everybody.
Well, it is pretty interesting, isn't it, that you don't really know. You don't really need to know everything.
No, I mean, you don't.
Yeah, it's funny because we were sort of brought up to want to know everything.
We're looking at some very big things coming down the pike, and I want to stay in the now moment with all of this, but there are big things coming down the pike. There are big things going on politically. There are big things going on economically, all kinds of things. In the now moment, if you can hold the highest resonance and you're focusing on holding the highest resonance, the vision for your new world, which is what we're here creating right now, the new Earth, your current circumstances, whatever they may be, even if you're struggling financially, can benefit, get caught up in the wave of that energy. And as a result, you can benefit personally without even realizing it, without even trying, by holding the highest resonance for the good of all. And that is a paradox. Our planet is rift with paradox. It always has been. You know, Steve made an interesting comment, Veronica, about your connection with your higher self today and how the duality is now a triology where it's, you know, dark, light, and the higher self. And that's really our relationship with our higher self now, more than ever, ever, ever before. Creating a relationship and a dialogue with a higher self is our real guidance. So how do you keep your resonance up? Well, you know, I always share with people, I have all these funny little things that I do. Yesterday I was walking, and I was walking the parks, which there are a lot of walking trails where I live, and the big sprinklers were on, and I just ran through all the sprinklers. And I thought it was incredibly funny. I had a wonderful time, and I didn't care how silly I looked. But it really got my resonance up. It really made me remember how wonderful small things are, the feeling of the water and the smell of the trees and the grass. And I just was in a state of ecstasy. I was having a wonderful time.
Yeah, it just sounds like fun.
It was fun, and you know, I've had it took me 3 days to recover from being around people who were going through tremendous crises and a lot of fear, and clear my field of all that fear. Mm-hmm. And so I would recommend to everybody, be really jealous with your energy field. If you have friends or family or whoever who are very negative or in a lot of fear, be like a jealous lover. Stay away. this is not what you need to do right now.
Well, I think also that awareness that we that it's contagious and that we live in that soup and it becomes us until we can really take responsibility for shifting it off, for dropping the fear, for setting up our lights. And, you know, that's really hard to do in the moment sometimes when there's a lot going on. You know, and you suddenly get trapped by it, or you suddenly are immersed in it and don't even know where it started, you know?
Well, and I agree with you, Veronica, and, you know, what I want to say about that is right now, time management is really important.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Don't spread yourself too thin right now. Your focus needs to be on the highest level that it can possibly be. For those of you that have a job that you have to go to every day, go do your job. But when you come home at night, be conscious of how you're spending your time. Now, whether that's watching some funny movie that makes you giggle, okay, or doing whatever it is that feels wonderful, a bubble bath, I don't really care. But take those moments all during the day to hold the higher vision. You get to choose. I mean, we're really all connected. That's why I made the comment about Atlantis. Everybody that's listening here tonight, we've created a web of energy. We're all connected. And we have the option during this timing, okay, to create the highest resonance we can to allow it to permeate out into the collective and over the planet.
Okay.
It's a choice. Ronnie, I know they're going to cut us off in a minute. Would you please give your website, honey?
Okay, it's www.veronicaentwistle.com. And my radio show is 4 o'clock Tuesdays, West Coast time. It's called Radiance by Design here on wonderful BBS Radio.
Beautiful. And, my website, ethealing.com. And I want to say to all of you that we love you. We are all a part of one another, and I say this every week. A piece of me is in every one of you, and a piece of you is in me. It can be no other way. We really are all one. As they signed that email, the one, it really touched me deeply to remember that we are the one, all of us. And we are the ones that we're counting on, folks. There is nobody else out there except for us. Now, there are lots of people that are holding a high resonance. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But take responsibility. Don't wait for somebody else to do it for you. This is your reality. It's your planet. And there are many on the other side of the veil that are really counting on us that'll join in it in a moment. Ask for help when you try to hold that higher resonance and feel the energies come in and surround. All right, folks, they're cutting us off. Good night, everyone. Blessings to all of you. Ronnie, I love you.
I love you, too. Good night, everyone. Blessings.
Good night.
Thank you.